chapter number 31, and we'll begin reading verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. What we'd like to do today, if you'll notice, there was a little bit of a theme here in verses 12 through 18, talking about rest. So we'd like to bring our sermon this morning on this thought, a little rest. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we pray, Lord, once again for everyone here at the Hammond Whiting Care Center, for your blessings upon them, for their health and well-being, but most of all, that each and every one here would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that if they don't, that they would make today that day, so that they could enter into your rest. Thank you, God, once again, for just being so good to us, for loving us, for saving us, for the grace and mercy and peace that you've extended to us that we certainly do not deserve, but you love us that much that you give it anyways and so freely on top of it. We praise your holy name, Father. In Jesus' name we ask you this. Amen and amen. So, as we said, we're looking at this thought of a little rest here, and quite frankly, we all certainly need our rest. We sleep. Some of us sleep for just a few hours. I think my pastor is able to get by in like 2 hours. He just keeps on going like that, energizes a bunny. Some of us are a little bit more on the lazy side, I guess you can say, and like me, they need 9 or 10 hours of sleep at night in order to be fully refreshed. I'm getting to that one, because there a lot of us need naps. Now, granted, when we were little children, we thought naps were the worst punishment there was. And then we became adults and we figured out naps are some of the best blessings out there. We get a little bit of rest. We get away from the problems of this life. We get away from the strain and the heartache and the work and the toil and all this other stuff. And I mean, my soul, I've been working in my backyard this week while I've been off because my wife's recovering from her surgery, and I'm so sore. Yesterday morning when I got up, and we got our daughter off to school, I went back to bed for another 2 hours. I didn't actually sleep for 2 hours. Don't misunderstand me. I laid there and tossed and turned a lot, but in the meantime, I did rest a little bit. Because rest is not always about sleep. Rest is about giving the body a chance to recover, to refresh itself, to get the energy built back up in one way or another here. And God's telling the people, hey, look, you all need to get some rest as well. Now, if I'm thinking correctly, right around the time of the French Revolution, they tried instituting a 10-day work week. And they tried that for the longest. They tried hard to make that work. And it failed miserably because the people weren't getting rest. And it wasn't working out. You know, there are laws that prohibit you from being at work for too terribly long because you need to have rest. You can work 16 hours at a time. No problem. You can work 16 hours, but then they want you to take and do some resting. You can drive for so long if you're a professional truck driver before the computer inside that truck will finally just shut the truck down on you, because you've got to have your rest. A good friend of mine, I got to see him a few months ago. He was parked over here by the Cabela's on Annapolis Boulevard.
He couldn't even drive the truck from the Cabela's parking lot over to the Walmart parking lot because he had no time left. He had to stop and was forced to rest by DOT regulations on the computer. And God simply saying, hey, look, I've got some regulations for you here as well. You need to take a little bit of rest. So I want to look here real quickly at this particular thought. And we see in verse number 14 that God says there needs to be a little bit of respect for the rest. He says here, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defile it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Well, who in the world doesn't like to have a little bit of rest? Go home, get some sleep, just chill out. Chillax is a new thing, or Netflix and chill, all this other nonsense. The point being, you park there on your couch, your chair, whatever, you turn on the television and you just vegetate your mind. You're resting. But there are people who are just absolute workaholics and they'll keep on going and going and going. I remember years ago, I had an uncle, good night, I loved the sausage that he would make. He'd go out and he would hunt wild boar. And he'd turn them into sausages. Miss Betty, it was some good sausage. But then, we'd go down, we'd visit him there on vacation, I'd get the sausage, hey, great, and all of a sudden, one time we went down there and there's no sausage. Well, he hasn't gone hunting. Following here, he hadn't gone hunting. He gave up hunting, this thing that he absolutely loved, because he'd become such a workaholic. He was working non-stop. And it took him away from the things that he loved. Changed his whole attitude because he was becoming such a workaholic. And God understood that Israel would do the same thing, that they would start going after these different things and chasing the almighty dollar and whatnot there if they just kept right on working. As a matter of fact, hundreds of years later, here in the book of Exodus, when you get over to the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, we find that one of the things Amos is preaching against Israel was that they had become such workaholics. They weren't taking the Sabbath day and actually resting. They couldn't wait till it was over with. Let me read the verses. Amos chapter 8, verse number 5 and 6. He says, we're not going to take and fall down for a foot here. No problem. Hey, how about we just do this? We'll put it over here. That way you don't have to worry. I don't want you falling because of that book. All right? Chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 is saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn? Now, the new moon was a minor holiday. Actually, it was a two-day holiday, so people really liked that because if you didn't have clear skies on the first of the month to be able to see the new moon, you'd have to have the second day there to be able to spot the new moon. They couldn't actually have a new month until they saw the new moon. So it was a two-day holiday. But these people were complaining, hey, when are we going to get rid of the new moon because we need to go out and make the money? And then they go out and say, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephod small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. In other words, they weren't just satisfied with working 7 days a week. They got to the point that they were wanting to buy and sell their fellow man. They got to the point that they were wanting to take and the chaff of the wheat that normally would be thrown away, blown up in the wind there. They would take and sweep all that stuff up, the little stalks from the wheat, gather all that up, mix it in with the wheat, and sell it as just wheat. Any way they could make money because they're so busy chasing. And God says it starts with a lack of respect for rest that you end up with these problems. God says you need to slow down. You're going to go off into sin if you're not going to have respect for rest. Now, God continues on here back in Exodus 31. He says here in verse number 15, the relief. He says, 6 days may work be done. But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Well, he doesn't want us to work ourselves to death. There's absolutely no need for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17 says,
Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? Now what in the world does that mean? Well, I heard a doctor one time say, your heart is only good for so many beats. Why waste them? That's probably why I'm so fat, because you know I'm not wasting them while I'm exercising. But the point being, though, you just keep working and working and working and working, and eventually what's going to happen? You'll have missed everything in this life. You'll have missed your children growing up, missed your grandchildren growing up, whatever the case would be there. And what have you got to show for it? Oh yeah, you got a large bank account, but you ain't taking that with you. What about friends? You got any friends? Well, just my work people. Yeah, how many of them are actually going to show up to your funeral versus how many are still going to be staying there at work working? Because, hey, got to chase the dollar. Think about that for a moment, church. God says, give yourself some relief. Take the time off. No need to be constantly at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 16. Let me read this one for you. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? Now think about that one for a moment, church. What is the wind? It's that invisible thing that pushes us around, and the stronger it is, the more likely we are to tip over. It's the thing that makes those leaves outside shake a little bit. It's the thing that could be so refreshing when it blows upon us, and it could be so driving when that rain is coming down and the rain stings because the wind is beating it into us. But the whole thing about it is, you go out in that wind there, and you take a feather and throw it up in the wind. What happens? It's just going to carry it away. They do these balloon launches, and they're having to stop them because they're starting to really mess with the wildlife. But they'll take balloons and they'll let them go into the wind, and the wind carries them away, and they're gone. I remember we did that when I was going over here to Franklin. Never did hear about all those postcards that we launched as a school. Never got a single one of them back, and that's been well over 30 years now. I don't think we're ever going to hear from them. They're gone in the wind. Our labor's gone in the wind when we're going to sit here and worry about this stuff. And God says, why bother? Work your 6 days. Take your seventh off. Get the relief that you need. It ain't worth it. Now, verse number 16, we see some repetition. It says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. So what's the repetition? Well, he says here the word perpetual. In other words, this is something that's supposed to be done by repetition. And repetition is the key to bringing up children as well as to help themselves. What does the Bible say there in Proverbs? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Not a guarantee a child won't walk away from it, but it's a guarantee a child will never be able to get away from what he was taught. If you're giving them repetition, this is what you're supposed to do, Junior. This is what you're not supposed to do, Junior. Guess what? Junior's going to know the difference. Junior may not follow, but Junior will know what's going on there. God says, I want you, Israel, you learn the seventh day. And you don't do nothing. Saturday, you're not supposed to be doing nothing. That Sabbath is Saturday, okay? We're having our church service here on the first Saturday of the month because this is when I'm available. This is how it is. It's not like we're required to have only church on Sunday. Israel, however, would have their religious observances as much as they could done on Saturday. It was a day of rest. This was the day that they were supposed to be communing even more with God. And God says, if you'll take and you'll do this, your children will learn to do this, and your children will learn to come up in the same way, so that when they have children, they'll be able to pass it down to them. I know a great many families who deeply regret not having made a greater effort at teaching their children just how important church was. As if their kids really ain't in church all that much. And anyone who's got eyes can look and see, it's not long before those grandkids just completely get out of church. Because they've got no repetition in their lives saying, hey, this is how you should be treating God. This is how you should be acting. This is how you should be doing these different things there. And we've gotten away from it. And we can turn on the news and see how all the crimes that are going on in this crazy sin-filled world here. It's because we've gotten away from holy God. We've gotten away from His holy word here. And we are no longer following His values. And because we're not teaching His values to our children, what's happening? Same thing over and over again. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Because we have failed the repetition. Now I want you to know here real quickly in verse number 17 is some restrictions that God is bringing out. He says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Now I just want to pause right there. You'll notice that He's talking about this day of rest, the Sabbath. And the Bible tells us there in Exodus chapter number 20, we are given the Ten Commandments. We've all at least heard of them. We may not know what all they are, but we've heard the phrase the Ten Commandments. Well, one of the Ten Commandments is to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But if you'll take and actually look there in Exodus chapter number 20, you'll find more time is devoted to the fourth commandment, to honor the Sabbath day, than any of the other commandments. The one that comes the closest is the second commandment, which talks about no graven images. There's only two verses that are dedicated to that commandment. There are four verses dedicated to honoring the Sabbath. God says this is very terribly important for you. Now, this actually started off there in Genesis chapter number 2, verses 2 and 3, where it recaps the end of creation. And it talks about how God rested on the seventh day. Now God did, obviously, as we all know, God did not need to actually rest because creation wore Him out. He was simply giving us a model how we are supposed to be acting. He worked for 6 days, He took the seventh off. We're supposed to work for 6 days, take the seventh off. And He established that for Israel here. We are talking here in the book of Exodus, here in chapter number 31, we are talking about what is called the Mosaic Law. This is the law that God has given to Israel and telling them, this is how I want you to be acting. These are my rules, my regulations for you. You need to be obedient to them. Now, we go over to the New Testament. Why are we going to the New Testament? Because the New Testament is what actually applies mostly to the church. We've got a lot of lessons in the Old Testament. And dare I say, we've actually got a lot of lessons in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the church wasn't there at that time yet. The church didn't start until Acts chapter number 2. So we get over here, and I want to read for you some verses in Hebrews chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses 8 through 11. And the Bible says this, whoever the writer of Hebrews was, wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I personally believe it was Paul, but that's beside the point. He says here, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What is he saying here, church? In a nutshell, if you'll look there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find 9 of the 10 commandments brought forward either by Jesus or the apostles. You'll find it over and over again in the New Testament. The only one of the 10 commandments that does not come over into the New Testament times, into the church age, is to honor the Sabbath day. Why is that? Because Jesus is our rest. He is the one who has come to save us from our sins. He is the one who has come to bring us salvation. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He is the only way possible that anyone will ever get to see the Father. The gift that God the Father gave when He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word life there is rest. A rest from the sins of this world. A rest from the cares of this world. A rest from all the aches and pains and sorrows of this life. We still got to go through them. But we're going to have a perfect life one day there in heaven. So when God's given this restriction here back in Exodus 31 verse 17, it is to Israel. It is to all those who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But once you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, doesn't matter if you are a Gentile or you are a Jew. Doesn't matter if you are yellow, black, white, green, with purple polka dots. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have to worry about that restriction anymore because you've got Jesus. And He is the ultimate rest for our souls. Amen. Hallelujah. Period. Now, I want to finish off here at verse number 18 real quickly. The Bible says here in verse number 18, "And He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." We find here the rest of the story. From the time that Moses has gone up Mount Sinai till now, all these chapters here, God has been giving him blueprints for the tabernacle. He's been giving him the fashion design for all the priest garments and the high priest garments. He's been giving him the rules and regulations for how this new Aaronic priesthood was going to be going here. And I was completely off base when I started to say what I did. So I apologize. But all of these instructions were being given to Moses by God. And what does he do? He starts it off with rest. He ends it with rest. It's about rest. Coming here with God. Now, I want to point out something to you real quickly. The verse itself ends by saying, written with the finger of God. Three times in Scripture we find God actually coming and writing. We find here that God has written all these chapters down on those two tables of stone here with His own finger. He's written it out. When you get over to Daniel chapter number 5, you'll find there it talks about how Belteshazzar was giving his banquet. And they were drinking out of the sacred vessels of the Lord that they'd been plundered by his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. And they were drinking their wine from it and praising the gods of wood and stone and all that stuff there. And suddenly there appeared a hand from the Lord and it wrote upon the plaster. And that was the second time that God wrote. Now the first time that God wrote down the law. The second time God wrote there in Daniel chapter 5, He wrote down the penalty. What He wrote was, "Mene, mene, tikel, yifarasen. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." But then the third time that God Himself wrote is there in John chapter number 8. Jesus is there teaching. And the Pharisees and whatnot, they brought in the woman who was taken in the very act of adultery. And they started telling Jesus, you know, "Hey, we got a law. And the law says that this woman who's taken in adultery, she's supposed to be stoned. But what say you?" The Bible says that He stooped down and He started writing in the dust of the ground. And they kept pestering Him about it. "Come on, give us an answer. Come on. What do you say? Come on. Stop playing games. Tell us." He looked up and said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And He went back to writing. So while the first time God wrote was the law, and the second time God wrote was the penalty, the third time was the rest. Because this third time He wrote grace out for that woman. Now I don't know if that's actually what He spelled out there in the ground. We don't know. But I do know He was the only one who had the right to throw the first stone at her. I do know that all those other men tucked their tail between their legs and they went out because they were under conviction. I do know that grace was offered that day. I do know that that was a moment of rest for that woman. She knew she was guilty. Those men knew she was guilty. Of course, they also forgot to bring along the man. He was also supposed to be stoned. So they knew they were guilty of that part too. But Jesus was extending rest for her soul that day. A little bit of rest, church. You see how it circles back? Because God finished writing the law down here. And Jesus brought it right back to rest. A little bit of rest, church. I've got just a couple of questions here for you this morning as we close. Number one, there is a rest for all of us. And it's not when we die. It can be found here in the now. Have you asked Jesus to save you? And question number two, if you've tried His rest, are you abusing it by staying out in the sins of this world? I can't answer either of those questions for you, only you can. But I do know this, He's a God of rest and He'll help you rest from the burden of your sins. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day and pray that everyone here was able to get exactly what it is that they needed out of the sermon. Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.